I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional and life coach, hoping both of those areas and making sure that they are nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Michelle DeFilippo. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jody. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to this chat. Let me tell you something about Michelle. Michelle DeFilippo has more than 50 years of experience in book publishing. Her company, 1106 Design, makes it easy for authors to release a top quality book, keep control of it, and earn more money every time they sell a copy. Michelle is on a mission to help authors ask the right questions to make informed decisions about publishing books. 1106 Design's mission is to publish books without sharing a penny of their net revenue from sales with a publisher. Since 2001, they have helped more than 4,000 authors publish like pros. 1106 Design is based in Phoenix, Arizona, USA, and serves nonfiction and fiction authors around the world. Wow, you know, I just want to say 4,000 authors, and publish like pros are all in caps, but that is fabulous because most people have a book in them, and it's just, they come up against the wall. Do I need to go to the big publishing houses? I want to get this out now. I want to do it the way I want to do it. I have more control of it. So I just want to say thank you for allowing people to really get out there in the world. Now, Michelle, have you always been interested in book publishing? Did it start with book writing?
No, actually it didn't. When I got out of school, I had studied advertising art. My background is in design, fully expected to get into the ad agency business in New York where I grew up, and went on a whole bunch of interviews. The ad agencies didn't want me, but I went on an interview with Crown Publishing in New York, and they offered me a job. And so that's how I got into publishing. Wonderful. It wasn't a plan in any sense of the term, but it turned out to be wonderful. I loved it because every project was different, and that's even true today. Every author we work for is unique. Every book we work on is unique. And so there's never boredom in publishing.
I love that. And I love the passion that you have. You know, it's like every new venture is very stimulating, and it's up to you to, I'm assuming, find out the uniqueness about that. How long were you with Crown, and what did you do after that, or when did you get into publishing on your own with 1106 Design?
Well, it's kind of funny, as you can imagine, with 50 years of work experience, I've done a lot of different things, and it's been kind of a roller coaster. After Crown, I actually did go back to the ad agency arena for a short while, did pharmaceutical advertising. And that's really more complicated than anybody would imagine. So I did that for a while. I worked for the ad agency whose main client was Hoffman La Roche Pharmaceuticals at that point in time. And then my husband and I got the bright idea to move to Phoenix, Arizona, because my grandparents had moved here, and we loved it. And we thought, we're young, we don't have kids yet, let's go. So we did. But unfortunately, when I got to Phoenix, I found out I couldn't find a decent job. I couldn't make more than minimum wage, which was
Yeah.
far below what I was being paid in New York for the
Yeah.
same work. So I wound up freelancing for a while, and then I opened a typesetting business, old fashioned.
Goodness, yeah, we're going back.
Yes, very, very far back. When the machines to put words and pictures together on a page cost $35,000.
My word. Oh, thank goodness we are where we are today, where you can
And
make as many mistakes as you want.
that was in 1980 dollars, so
Goodness.
probably would be $100,000 in today's
Yeah.
dollar.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did that for 13 years, and then Steve Jobs put me out of business by inventing the Macintosh computer.
Right.
So you put every typesetting business in the world out of business. It wasn't just me.
Absolutely. Right. You gotta blame some of that on the IBM crowd as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So when did you start your own business, and how did it come to you? Because you were working for all these people, and what pushed you into saying, I'm on my own?
Well, like I said, it was the money, right? I mean, I was working now in New York, the work week was 35 hours. I came to Phoenix, the work week was 40 hours. And I was making, I don't know, $100 a week, maybe.
Goodness.
And I thought, this is crazy. I have to look into something better than this. So it was just, I didn't know anything about opening a business. So I mean, you coach people, and if I had to say to people, just go for it, because if you don't have to know so much, right? And I think that's different than the narrative that's out there today. Now, I think everybody, there's so many so-called experts out there that people feel they have to be an expert. But I can tell you, I knew nothing about opening a business, and it worked out fine. So don't be
Yeah.
afraid.
I love hearing that. And I'm on your side. I agree. Even as a business coach, helping people launch their dream business or passion, you don't have to know anything. In fact, some of the things you think are defined as your business, they change based on experience. And you can't get that unless you jump in feet first. And you figure it out. I have great belief in people. You figure it out
You do.
as you go along, and you do research. You may pull in, help from various aspects of the business that you may not know much about. But it's great. Live your passions. That's what I'm telling people to do. So, you say that you have very, you've published unique books of the 4,000 and Going Strong. I'm curious, what is the most unique book that you have published?
Oh, there have been many of them, actually. We worked on a book for a dentist who wrote basically a textbook with 150 charts and graphs in it. So that took a while. The most unique book I worked on was for a lady in San Francisco, now that I remember. Her name was Jane Kimball, and she had a huge collection of what was known as trench art. I had never heard of it before. Apparently, soldiers in many of the world's wars would make carvings out of shell cases.
Goodness, out of what was that again?
Shell cases,
Shell
bullets.
out of bullets.
Yeah, the
Goodness.
armor, yeah. And beautiful pieces of work that you would never imagine. And I had never heard of that before. And that book too had something like, I don't know, 150 or 200 pictures of it, of her
Goodness.
collection. And it's still out there on Amazon somewhere. It's called trench art, an illustrated history.
Goodness, I
Wow.
love that. That somebody is really interested in that, and you're very unexpected, right? Something
Yeah.
as unusual as that.
Well, our conversation was funny because she didn't know there was such a thing as a book designer. And I said, that's okay. I didn't know there was such a thing as trench art. So
Right. Now,
everything that happens is through the people we meet, and that's kind of cool, isn't it?
exactly. They change our outlook, our perception, and broaden it. I think it's what we're meant to do, is really, talk to people and get into their world for a while, which is great. Now, tell me about a client, maybe your perfect favorite client, and they haven't found you yet. So tell me about that person, group, etc.
Oh gosh, I love working for people that collaborate with us and allow us to do our job, and together we make a better book than either one of us would have imagined at the start of the project. I love that. I love working for business people because they tend to be serious and organized and appreciative of the skills of others. They're busy and they need help, and they appreciate people who are able to help them. So that's a favorite category of client. But I really love all my clients. It's fun to talk to work with someone. It's inspiring to work with someone who has written a memoir, and the stories that come across our desk are just unbelievable. The things that people have endured in life, and somehow they manage to come out the other side, and wanting to help other people. The stories would have crushed me. I think I would have given up, but instead of giving up, they find inspiration in it and go help other people.
I think that's the reason we read memoirs and biographies, autobiographies, is to really find the ways they found courage to get through a very difficult part of their life. And we are able to bring that in. And again, because you help people self-publish, a story that would have laid dormant is now comes to light.
That's right, because traditional publishers have a lot of expenses, so they can't take on everybody. They have to take on the authors that have a good chance of selling many, many books, right? But it's not that they're bad people, but they have to be selective, otherwise they would be out of business. So self-publishing fills an area that, like you said, otherwise these books would never come to life.
Exactly. And yes, I'm grateful for what you are doing again. I love reading biographies and memoirs. Now, as an author, what would you recommend that somebody think about, organize themselves before they come to you? What do they need to do? What are the, what should they have at least partially put together?
Well, to anyone who's considering self-publishing, I would unfortunately have to warn them that there's a lot of misinformation out on the internet right now. And my message may be surprising to some people, and that is that you do not need to work with a publisher in order to self-publish a book. In the beginning, that's what everybody understood self-publishing to be, that the author was the publisher. But now it's gotten really complicated, and we have so-called publishers that really do very little for the author, and then actually take more money out of the author's po pocket than they really should. Let me back up a little bit. Traditional publishing, the author doesn't pay a dime. The publisher hires the editors and the designers and so forth and makes the book. And in return, the traditional publisher keeps most of the revenue from sales in order to recoup that investment, which is perfectly fair. Self-publishing meant that originally that the author was the publisher. The author would hire the experts, and then the author would keep all of the revenue from sales. So that was a great deal, right? Compared to traditional publishing, which was the only option at that time. But now we have publishers in the middle ground. They charge the author to produce the book, and they take money out of their pocket when the book is sold. So that doesn't work out really very well for authors. And that's why I started doing these podcasts, because people have forgotten that you don't need a publisher. You need services, but you don't need a publisher, quote unquote, to self-publish a book.
Absolutely. And what are those services that you provide? I mean, I know somebody can write them. Yeah, go ahead. You may even help with writing the book, acting as a kind of a book muse.
Well, most of the time, authors will come to us with a completed manuscript, and that's where we usually pick up with our core services, which are editing, cover design, interior layout, proofreading, and ebook formatting. That's the typical package of services that most people need. There's a lot, again, that's another area of misinformation that people will find online, that they should design their own cover or hire someone who does it for $50 or types at their own interior pages. And it's not the way to make a quality book. It's a compelling message, sounds great, but it's not the way books are made at the traditional publisher level. So I would encourage everyone to please, even if you have to save up before you initiate the process, please hire experts to help you because your book will be better for it.
I can imagine. I think it will be better presented. It'll be more attractive. It'll be, the e formatting very difficult to do. You want to make sure there's consistency of the person handling that book.
Yeah. Well, I think it's helpful to remember how we shop, how we all shop for anything. You want quality. And if you don't get quality, you're really annoyed and you might go back and post a bad review. The same is true of books. If you don't give your customers quality work, if the interior is filled with typos or it wasn't edited well, you're risking everything, right? Because once people find out the book is not up to par, they may tell 10 people, I bought this lousy book.
Oh,
And, yeah, and that you don't want that. And it,
absolutely not.
yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if it is your memoir, maybe you are just a one book person. This is it. You want to get it out. You want it to be a legacy for generations that come after you. Why not make it the best it could possibly be?
Yeah. And some people do publish as a hobby. And so there's really two tracks in publishing: publishing as a hobby and publishing as a business, right? So if you're going to take the business route, then that means you're going to charge people money for your book. And people work hard for their money and they want value when they spend it. So you have to keep that in mind and make sure you prepare a good book. What people sometimes do is they take the hobbyist approach and expect to sell books. And that's where things go horribly wrong.
So, do you market the book as well?
What I do is I introduce my customers to marketers that I trust and let them make their own decisions about that. Our core skills are in the development of the book, the editing and the design area.
Got that. And what would you say to somebody who is thinking about doing a book? Any tips, any suggestions to that person?
Sure. I think if you plan to sell the book, you should start with research before you even begin writing. Make sure that there's an audience that needs whatever it is you're going to say. A lot of times authors will just write the book that they're interested in and then hope that there's somebody else out there who's interested, but that's not a great way to go about it. And sometimes authors will say to me, my book isn't like any other book. But that's not really a good thing, right? Traditional publishers will always find the market first and then shape the book to fit the audience. And so indie publishers would do well by doing that a little bit more often.
That's a great suggestion. Yeah,
Yeah.
and it makes sense. You know, I mean, you may think people love what you talk about at parties. People are just fascinated by that. And maybe they're not. So yeah, go out there and yeah.
Yeah, and that's okay, but
Yeah.
then verify that with more research, right? It's
Exactly.
like, who is my audience? Who am I writing this book for? If you can identify a problem in the nonfiction arena,
Yes.
identify a problem that a lot of people are complaining about, and if you have a solution, go ahead and put it in a book. Now you know you've got the answer to that burning problem, and you're more likely to sell books. But it's hard to make money selling books in a retail environment. That's another thing I would add, because the retailer takes a big cut of the cover price, and you can't get away from that. So you might want to think about, how else can I sell my book? Can it be used as a textbook in schools? Can it be used by coaches or teachers or other consultants? The more books you can sell direct outside of a retail environment, the better off you'll be.
A great suggestion, and I love the problem solution. That is frankly why people are in business, is to have a unique solution to people's problems, and that's how they stay in business, get noticed. And I love the idea of a book doing the same thing. And maybe if they're in business and they can write a book on that, it's like a double whammy with advertising and getting their book out there to people who are considering their services. That's a great idea as well.
Yeah, now if the idea of writing a full-length book to promote your business is a little overwhelming, you should know it doesn't have to be a full-length book. It can be a smaller lead magnet, maybe 80 or 100 pages, something like that. I did that, and I give it away on my website. It's
Great.
called Publish Like the Pros, and it doesn't earn very much at all in the retail environment, but it gets me a lot of customers. So if you're a business owner, it might be a way to do something different than what's common now, which is hammering away at social media and LinkedIn and all of that, and not really getting in any engagement. If you give away your expertise enough for people to feel comfortable with you and think that, gee, I might want to work with this person, they know what they're doing. A lead magnet type of book is also a possibility.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And you know, if you are a social media person, you know, put that book in as many posts as you can. Came out with a great idea, you know, check out the book and let's have a conversation afterwards. And it's a great advertising tool. Now, just going back to retail, I'm going to bring up the A word. Are you following me? The Amazon word. And you know, would you recommend that people advertise or their books with Amazon? Is it something to buy, or what's your stance on that?
Well, you can try it. I wouldn't bet the mortgage money on it. As an indie publisher, you are the publisher, and it has always been the publisher's job to drive the buyer to the retailer, right? So to the way that to the extent that you can do it yourself through social media or contacts or email newsletters on your website, whatever, you're better off probably than just shotgunning ads out there.
And better off from the point of just you're going to make more money because you do not have to split the proceeds with Amazon or anyone out there.
Well, like I said, if you can sell books direct, that's great. But if Amazon is going to make its money, right? But that kind of plays into what I started to say before about these middlemen publishers. If you put your book on Amazon, through your own print-on-demand account, which is in your name. KDP and Ingram Spark are the two platforms that do that. That's great because Amazon will take its cut. The retailers will take their cut. You'll pay for the printing, but then everything else comes back to your bank account. If you work with a publisher, the publisher puts the book up on their print-on-demand account. They get the sales reports. They get the money in their bank account, and then they pay you only a portion of that revenue. You're not getting the full revenue. So that's really my message in a nutshell.
I think that's a great message. And with services like 1106 Design, you can do that. You can choose, okay, I'm going to self-publish, I'm going to put it on Amazon or, other online booksellers out there and reap those benefits.
It's a hard message for us to get across because people think we're publishers. They're looking for a publisher. And it's like, no, you don't. Let's do original self-publishing. It's more you can It's better for, and sometimes these publishers take control of the files so that if you ever want to part ways with them, you can't get your files that they charged you to create, and you'd have to start over. I'm actually working on a book right now with an author who could not get his files from the publisher, and
Boy,
he has to start over.
that's criminal. I mean, it really is. I know. I don't know how they want to make their money, but this is this person's intellectual property. So,
Yeah,
yeah, that changed.
to me that seems like just petty and
Yeah,
pointless, right? Well, those
exactly.
files are of no use to the publishing company, so why hang on to them
Right.
just to be nasty?
It sounds like it. I don't know. Somebody is making bad decisions at the top to, because they're gonna, the business that'll come after that at publishers, or authors talk, and they'll say, "Do not, did you know what happened at this company?" So that will get around.
Now we don't grab authors' files like that. If we hope they come back to us, of course, for revisions and so forth. But if they want to go, we will give them their files. We got paid for the job. Why get it? Why get in the way of that? There's no reason for it.
Now, Michelle, how can people contact you if they want to find out more about your services?
Oh, I would love it if people visited my website at 1106design.com. And they can, like I said, download my free book, Publish Like the Pros. And one thing I will be emphatic about is we are not going to start spamming your inbox if you contact us. We will reach out, but we're going to be respectful about it. You can book a consultation there and we'll have a nice conversation with you. We're not going to pressure you, as is so common today. We're kind of old-fashioned in that regard.
I like that. A reasonable business to deal with. Right? You're not going to be on someone's email list and receiving, the double-digit emails that go on. We
I mean, I don't
appreciate it.
know. I don't mind an email occasionally if I reached out to someone, but when it starts being five or six messages a day, I think that's over the top.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. This has been a really interesting conversation. And I'm hoping the people who have a story in them contact you after they've written it or gotten some advice.
Well, thank you, Jody. I hope I was helpful to people too, and because for me, it's and everyone at 1106 Design, it's all about good books and helping authors produce that good book that they've got inside them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again and take care, okay?
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.